shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Actually, not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in a very delightful and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
That's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Monday through Friday on WCNO. Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and the future. For more information, call 772-335-3231.
Don't go read a book about your self-esteem. Don't be waiting for people to tell you how valuable you are. You don't have to go to a workshop. Save yourself money from going to these seminars. Read the Word of God, and God will tell you you are valuable.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. For those of you who have been following our program, you know that we have been going through the series of the book of Hosea. However, for the next few programs, we're going to take a break from Hosea series so that we can focus on preparing our hearts for the season of Christmas. In the busyness of the season, it is easy to become consumed by holiday events and to-do lists, but we must never forget that Christmas is the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will begin our seasonal series by focusing on Mary's visit from the angel Gabriel. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, A Heavenly Visitor Visits a Virgin.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 1, 26 through 37. And at my home, we have a tradition and we go through the Christmas story. The boys know that they go through the Christmas story. And I will submit to you, don't limit it to December. It's nice to visit this often. But we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, 26 through 37. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37. Our Bible study for this morning, we're going to try to move quickly, is a heavenly visitor visits a virgin. A heavenly visitor visits a virgin. In this case, a virgin maid. A young lady. There's a lot of debate about the Hebrew word, about, you know, was it just a young girl? No, we know she was a virgin, because if you read the whole entire Bible, it tells you that she did not know a man. That word know is to know a person in a intimate or in a sexual way. So she was pure. She was a virgin. Let's visit this study. Let's look at the heavenly visitor that visits a virgin. But before we do, I'd like to give you a context. Introduce this text with a history lesson so you can understand the setting of the passage. But I want to talk about marriage in the first century. And ancient marriage and we look at our representation of marriage, you always go to the Bible. Do you hear me? You go to the Word of God, because who is the author of matrimony? The Lord God. Contrary to popular belief, because the issue today in our culture is that we have redefined marriage because we're looking at it from human lenses. You see, when the natural man, the unconverted, or the unbeliever, when they take marriage, and when marriage has been reduced, diminished to just a ceremony, reduced and diminished to tuxedos, nice gown, and a honeymoon, and $10,000, $20,000, and guess what? You just wasted $10,000, $20,000, $25,000, and that dress because the marriage didn't even last a couple of months. You see, society say marriage is all right if I get two people of the same sex. Or there are some groups promoting multiple partners, multiple wives. Why are they able to do that? Because again, they're looking at it from a human perspective. But when you look at marriage from the vantage point of God, it's very clear what it is. When you look at marriage from a high viewpoint, you will always give marriage the respect that it deserves. The problem is they don't respect it because they don't respect God. Well, the ancient Israelites, the Jewish people, they understood marriage according to God's design. And in that day, earlier in biblical times, girls, unlike, now here, catch, hold fast to this now, because we live in the West and we don't enjoy a Middle Eastern understanding or a first century understanding. So when you read your Bible, you got to make sure that the Spirit of God, pray, say, God, help me to see this from your perspective. Because I'm going to tell you something that's controversial in this culture, unacceptable in this culture. Matter of fact, you'll be arrested and thrown in prison when it comes down to the marital age of a young girl. Anciently speaking, in this day, a young girl, shortly after puberty, either after she's reached that point where she can have a kid, she was allowed to marry. So we 12, from 12 to 14, she was able to marry. Oftentimes, the family, there was a patriarch, not a matriarch. There was a father, an ancient one, someone they respected. They used to arrange the marriages. A prospective son-in-law had to come pay a dowry to pay, to give a gift for her. And once he made that gift, and there was an arrangement, there was consensual, it was consensual among all parties, guess what? They were considered married. It's called a betrothal. That's why you see that word espoused in our text. So they were allowed to be married. A little bit later in the first century, the Jewish rabbis came out and they pretty much said, you know, if she is at a certain age, being 12 years and a day, and the young man, catch this, a young man 13. Can you imagine a 13-year-old marrying somebody today? Y'all can't fathom that. We live in the 21st century. We live in America. But back then, there was no Xbox and PlayStation. There was no irresponsibility. They lived in an agrarian culture. And they worked on the land. They worked on the farm. They followed a trade from their parent. And young people was taught to be men, not to stay in adolescence till they're 28. Some of us are 40 in adolescence. It's funny. You don't believe me? Go by the mall and stop by, what's that place called? GameStop. And there are men in there older than me and you in there coming out. And they pack on their shoulder, oh, I call a duty, I'm at stage, prestige, whatever. But that doesn't pay the bills, man. That's not protecting the family. That's not pointing them to Jesus. You think God's going to look at you and say, oh, what level did you get on in call of duty? No, we got to get back to what the Bible says. So we can train our young people today. Did you know that there was captains on ships at age 12? We got to get back to teaching what the Bible says. So in this day, the Jewish rabbi set the minimum age for marriage, 12 years for a girl and 13 years for a boy. That's it. And guess what? Here's what happens. You know, in this culture, we talk about being an old maid, but they didn't focus on being an old maid. They focused on the guy. If a guy did not get married by age 18 or 20, according to Jewish tradition and culture, 18 and 20, that was something wrong with him. So again, a different mindset. A different perspective. So I share this backdrop to help you to understand the dimensions or the dynamic, that is, what's going on in Mary's life right now. So we can look at this and say, okay, Mary is between 12 and 14, somewhere between there. It makes you appreciate how much of, not a little girl, how much of a woman she was. Knowing that she was going to face the scourge of ridicule, having the need and got to have a conversation with her fiance that she's pregnant by God, not another man. And that man being Joseph, having to receive and accept what she had to say. That, you know, it was a 10-month period, the betrothal. It lasts for 10 months. And if you, the only way it could be broken was by divorce. That's how serious it was. And if she slept with someone, if they lay with someone, that was considered adultery. So you need to understand again the gravity of what little Mary had to face and tell the whole community, a closed community. Come on, Nazareth was not like Las Vegas or a big metropolis. It was a little town. So everybody know your business in a little town. So can you imagine the horror that people whispering, looking at her, and old Joseph said, oh, it's not mine. But you read the Bible, Matthew chapter 1, you find out that God said, hey, Joe, it's okay, I got this. This is my babe, I'm doing this. This is how I'm going to bring salvation to Israel. So don't you worry about it. Go ahead and marry her. So now we find ourselves in our text, Luke chapter 20, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. God, we read this historical account, Father, because it's the word of God. Lord, help us to process, make the application, not get caught up with this attitude, or I heard this story before. I pray against that spirit. Anyone that has that disposition, too often we come to church sometimes, Father, saying we've heard everything and we can't learn nothing different. But God, we can't get enough of your word. And I pray that hearts are pliable and soft as we look at this incredible account of your means of salvation for the whole entire world. May we never get tired of it. May we never be bored. May we never, ever not appreciate and value the whole entire word, because it's about his story. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you guys ready to get into this? I can't wait. I mean, you know, Christmas time is an exciting time for most people, for some people, and it should be. I just wish that we can carry the same disposition in the whole entire year, that you're excited about Christ. This is a good tool. This is a good opportunity for us to get back on page. But I pray at the close of this season that you would be just excited. See, we are like a pendulum. We swing. And sometimes we get momentum and we're on the positive side, we're on the celebratory side, we're excited about God, excited about life, and real quickly from 0 to 60, you go back down into the valley. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need to ask God to keep you focused, because when you have those challenges in your life, keep your heart and fixed on Jesus. We're here for him. Now let's look at our text. Now, Gabriel's busy. You guys know who Gabriel is. Gabriel is one of God's angels, and he's one of the few angels that are specifically named in the scriptures that we have. His name is Gabriel, and he's a messenger, and he has a message, but his message is not his own. His message did not come from him. It wasn't original with him. His message was from God, because if you know the scriptures, angels are messengers, are servants of God. They don't operate outside God's design. And if they do, they belong to that other guy, Satan and his fallen angels. And all those that are fallen have already left, if you know your scriptures. But this was an angel, and he had a message. And don't miss that part, 6 months in verse 26. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit will let us know the time frame, reinforcing what was going on in Elizabeth's life. She was already 6 months pregnant. So the angel, the timing. How many of you guys know God is about timing? And God is about timing in your life. You think you just showed up here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship? I want to submit to you, God directed you to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. He has a specific work and a time for you. So the angel was sent from God. I love that he didn't come independent. He didn't say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to find me a little virgin down there and give her a message. No, the angel had his order, and the orders came from God to a bunch of cities, this little town, this little place called Galilee of Nazareth. Verse 27 tells us who the young lady is. She's a virgin, and we already talked about being betrothed to Joseph. I love what God is doing. I want to show you the royal lineage, that Mary come from royal blood and Joseph came from royal blood, and because they will be part of the royal Godhead through Christ. Christ will come through the seed, through the root of Jesse, Old Testament, that branch, that root, that's Jesse, that's Jesus of the tribe of Judah. Jesus will be the one. Isn't it amazing that God was very specific in who he wanted to heal and how he wanted to save the world? He gives names and he gives backgrounds. Now, verse 28, let's not get tripped over that word highly favored. I'm going to put something out there for you. Y'all ready for this? Mary, in her position and her place of service for God, she enjoys a favored position, because no other woman will ever be Mary again. Did you hear me? Mary had favor. She was what I call sanctified and set apart for service. Set apart for God elected to set his favor on Mary. Mary did not go to seminary, or Mary did not go to the Pharisees. Mary was just minding her business, doing domestic work possibly, because considering the culture of women in that day, she didn't have time to watch soap operas. Or get on, no, they get on a, what's the little thing they call an iPhone? No, she wasn't busy texting. She was about work. She was about business when the angel showed up. And I want you to see how the Bible said that the angel came into her. In, that means he had to enter into a dwelling. She wasn't out there in the woods. She wasn't out there in the garden picking things. She was in a dwelling because the Bible says the angel went in. Now, at my house, we just got a security system lined up. We changed it, our security system, and you could punch in the digits and it set alarms everything. But in this context, there was no police, there was no security, this stranger. So imagine a stranger shows up and didn't even ring the doorbell. A stranger shows up and you're looking at him. It doesn't say it, but I wonder if she was washing pots and pans, did she drop anything? Maybe in that day it was a clay pot, and maybe she was washing it. And again, I'm taking some liberties here because the scripture, though, don't say, don't make this doctrine. Just trying to help you to understand the story. I'm not like some of those guys on TV going to give you a narrative that don't come from God. I just want you to understand that what's happening, she was a maid, the angel came. And here's the thing, God leaves out the details sometimes. You know that? He don't always give us all the fill in the blanks for us. And there are some of you so analytical and critical, you want to cross the T for information, and because God didn't say something specifically, you go run with that and disobey God. No, we do what the Bible tells us and what it reveals to us, and there's a helper called the Holy Spirit to help us to connect things together. So Mary's this single agent used by God for his gracious plan of salvation. She's highly favored, blessed. Noah was also favored. Did you know that? First time you see the word graces in the Bible is on Noah. And like I said, I want to throw something to you. Mary in her position as the mother, as that blessed mother, I want to tell everybody here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship that if you didn't know it, you need to mark this down. All of you are highly favored. All of you are valuable. How so? How much? How costly was your salvation? So if God, not if God, since God gave his very best, God didn't tip to save our souls. He gave his very best himself to purchase our salvation. So don't go read a book about your self-esteem. Don't be waiting for people to tell you how valuable you are. You don't have to go to a workshop. Save yourself a money from going to these seminars. Read the Word of God. And God will tell you you are valuable. And it has nothing to do with your race, your color, your background, your education, or here's this, catch this, what you do for me. I did it all for you. You are valuable and highly favored because of Jesus. Because for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Mary's highly favored, but she moved from being highly favored to highly troubled, highly vexed. She moved from being highly favored, the position, but in her mental state and where she was as a person, in her heart, she moved from being highly favored, as the angel said, because she didn't understand what he was talking about, to highly disturbed. What were you disturbed about, Mary? First of all, this is a stranger. Her mental calm and her contentment, she was busy. This man just interrupted her life, rocked her world, moved her away from status quo, from what she was normally doing. Her routine was done because she's getting ready. She just heard a greeting that no woman from Eve ever made on this planet, from Eve to the last woman that would ever be conceived, will never get this salutation that Mary just got. Are you with me? Again, to underscore the gravity and degree and the blessing that this young lady was blessed to have. But she was bothered, gripped in distress over that. Verse 29, when she saw him, the Bible tells you she was troubled. Troubled not because of his presence. You would think that this is a stranger in my house. That doesn't look like Joseph. But she was troubled by what the stranger had to say to her. Being a Jewish girl, she was taught the scriptures. She was taught the Old Testament. She knew that Israel was looking for a redeemer and a king. They was looking for the Messiah to come on a white steed and to rescue and free them from the tyranny of Rome, because they were being occupied by a big, huge power called Rome. So I'm sure she heard about Moses and the Ten Commandments and the Passover, and she's been conditioned. She's been taught her Hebrew scriptures. And for him to say that to her, that she would be the mother of Yeshua, the Messiah. So she was bothered by that. And I love what God did. So when you are trialed and when you are tested, God knew she was troubled. The angel said, you know what? Let me help you out, Mary. Don't be afraid of this. I know you're wrestling with what's going on in your mind. I know that you cannot grasp this. You can't process this. So let me tell you the truth. Fear not. I noticed the angel said fear. That tells me some of what Mary was. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what was going on. Fear of not understanding. How many of you know that fear is a very powerful influence? How many of you know that fear prevents you from doing what God's called you to do? How many of you know that fear has you paralyzed? There are people paralyzed, can't stand in public, can't talk, can't speak. They stay in their homes, can't even go shopping. They stay in their car, in their vehicle, can't drive because they're under fear. What's the cure of that? Months and months of therapy? What's the cure for that? Yes, we pray. Absolutely. But I'm looking at this and say, you know what, God? What was the cure for Mary? The Word of God. The Word, God's Word, and you trust His Word and believe in His Word, is able to liberate you from that fear. You'll see this in our narrative, in our story. You found favor, you unmerited grace you found, Mary. And then Mary, in verses 31 to 33, she was still confused about the thing, even though the angel told her not to be afraid. And God clarified her confusion. Verse 34, she's still figuring out, how can this thing be? Mary said to the angel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Wait a minute, I'm confused, Gabriel. I'm 12, 13, or 14, and in my 12 or 13, 14 years of life, I've watched children born in families. Mary was parking in her biology. She was parking in her human reasoning. She was parking and setting in her life experience. So in her mind, this is an impossible thing to come to pass. Because I've watched since the beginning of time, I've watched babies are born only one way, a certain way. Because she was resting in her experience. I submit to you this morning that some of you are resting in your human experience and you're limiting God because of your circumstances. You are limiting God because how you look at life. You got to change your lenses. Because I know you see a precedent and you got a pattern in your life. You have a history that puts you in a path that you walk on. But how many of you guys know God is not limited to a pattern or a style or a tradition? Do you hear me?
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, A Heavenly Visitor Visits a Virgin. During this Christmas season, it is important for us to remember that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. As Pastor Bernard mentioned in today's message, Christmas is a celebration of God's greatest gift to mankind, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to earth, died on a cross, and was raised from the dead on the third day, those who believe in Him can enjoy a relationship with God. Do not get so caught up in the busyness of the season that you forget why you celebrate. Christmas is a celebration of God's love for us and a display of His desire to have a relationship with us. To learn more about a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at